on 1116 SEN. The Grippers with Simon Helmut and Braden Ingram for Bragg & Co. If you're a developer looking for an agent that actually sells out a project, visit braggandco.com.au.
Put one down in the Grippers, didn't he, Nathan Lyon? But he's hung on to that.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Grippers. Yes, indeed. Even the great Michael Slater is a fan of our work, as you heard there on the coverage at the Wacker. And today we have an absolute cracking guest. I'll let my co-host introduce him in just a moment. And that co-host is the assistant coach of the Hobart Hurricanes. He is a genius across 2020 codes. And that genius is Simon Helmut. Good afternoon to you, mate.
Good afternoon to you, Brad. I need to be a genius of the under-12s tonight at Surry Hills, but that's for later on. We're in a bit of a lull here, aren't we? No test match cricket.
Yep.
No domestic cricket. Mitchell Johnson's retired, a fantastic servant, 300-plus wickets. But after bowling on the Wacker wicket, why wouldn't you retire? But someone who loved that wicket, obviously, was Ross Taylor. Unbelievable score. Batted for the first time a whole day, 290 runs. Look forward to speaking to him as our special guest on Episode 7 here on the Grippers.
We're certainly not going to muck around. Just before we do get to him, we are, of course, brought to you by Bracken Co. Call Matty Bracken if you're looking for a great investment, a cracking place to live, or if you're a developer looking for an agent that actually sells out a project. Visit brackenco.com.au or give Matt a call on 0402 098 888. Now, as you mentioned, Ross Taylor is our guest, and you've done a bit of work with him in the past. You know him pretty well, Simon.
I have, and he's our best guest so far on the Grippers here, Brado. It is fantastic to have the double centurion, nearly triple, of the last test over in Perth. Ross Taylor, great to have you on the show.
Hey guys, how are you?
Excellent, mate. How have you pulled up? Have you got out of the ice bath yet?
funny you say that. I had an ice bath after my 235, and because our physio said, Ross, please go in there. It was my first one since about 2008. I remember why I don't do them.
Oh, fantastic, mate. And you were out there for hours and hours fielding, and then you're out there for hours and hours batting, and then you finally get back out there to field again, and second over, the ball comes straight to you at first slip. Mate, you didn't want to drop that, did you?
No, definitely didn't. But I think, you know, your adrenaline's still pumping from batting, so it's probably not a bad time.
Yeah.
But maybe if it happened in the 20th or 30th over, it probably would have been a different result. It was a great game, obviously. A milestone for me, but it's just nice to keep the series alive, and all bodes well for hopefully a good game with the pink ball.
When you're out there, Ross, and you're on a big score, are you thinking, look, I'm going to make 150, 200, 250? What sort of mindset do you have when you're in that sort of situation? Because I suppose it's rare over a career for a batsman to be in that situation. How are you feeling out there?
Yeah, I wasn't feeling too bad. I felt pretty fresh even at the end of the second day batting. No, you never go out there to think you're going to score a big total. You just try and think about the next ball and keep into your routines and play straight. You know, there's different times throughout the innings where you might have a bit of luck or whatnot, but if you look too far ahead, you always get yourself in trouble. But, you know, ball by ball, normally pretty good. And I always wanted a better day in Test cricket, and it was nice to tick that off because I'd never done that before.
Yep.
Ross, a lot of people have been a little bit critical of the pitch and that it was a boring sort of game. But what would you say to that, given the fact that you spent 567 minutes at the crease and, you know, you're still feeling the effects now because of the heat? I mean, they may say that they're easy runs, but I imagine you'd say the exact opposite to that.
Oh, mate, it was going around corners. I mean, it was a flat wicket. You know, you can't go past that. But I suppose... you know, I thought Stark and Hazelwood and Johnson and co bowled pretty well. It was wasn't the easiest wicket to start on, especially the way Stark was bowling to Brendan. And maybe if some of those people can come and have a chat to my knuckles, would be. And I had to have an X-ray after day two because I'd been peppered so much on my fingers. But it was a very good place to bat, but you know, as the Wacker always is, you get value for shots with the outfield being so good. But as it showed, you know, the bowlers still needed to bend their back to get something out of it. But I guess fortunate enough to have got the total.
I hate to bring it up, but it was your first 100 in about a year. I'm sure it was something you were probably pretty aware of. I mean, did you feel has there been pressure building up on you a little bit in the last few weeks coming into the series?
Yeah, it was only 356 days.
And here it is.
I don't know how. Like, I'm not sure how many. I knew it was. I think it was in December last year, the last time I got a test 100. But that's the funny thing. I never really felt out of form because I'd scored five or six ODI 100s in that time. I just hadn't scored the consistent runs and test matches. And we don't play a lot of tests in New Zealand. I think I played. I started around the same time as Alistair Cook, and he's played about 110 tests, and I've played 60 odd.
Wow.
I didn't. I guess to answer your question, I was disappointed, but it was nice to score the runs. But hopefully, it's the start of being a lot more consistent in the test game over the next few months.
Rossi, as you enter the more senior part of your career, I suppose, you're working now with a lot of younger players and new batsmen have come through. You and Baz are probably the most experienced in that batting lineup. What's it like working with those young fellas like Latham and obviously Williamson now, who's obviously played many tests, but he's still developing his game? It must be great and rewarding working and batting with those guys.
Yeah, definitely. And almost getting the rewards back off Williamson. I think he's obviously one of the senior players. And, when you're not quite going so well, he takes a lot of pressure off you and, talking me through, different stages of batting and, it's pretty tough when you're against a hostile bowling lineup like the Australian team. You need to bat in partnerships and, he was able to, get me through my, vulnerable stage of those first 20 or 30 balls. But, I think, as you said, Latham also, I think, he hasn't quite scored the runs that he would like, but I think, showing a great temperament and I think he's going to be someone to watch and, hopefully he can develop and into a player that, Williamson has turned himself into over the last couple of years. I'm sure, Latham will have a very good test career in the years to come.
Is the family over with you or on your own?
No, my wife came to Brisbane and they got a duck, so she's sent her home.
Right.
The touring days are done.
Okay. Rossi, I think I first met you in 2003. You played a couple of scratch matches for the Canberra Comets many years ago, and that's when you were embarking on your career for New Zealand. Can you believe the changes in cricket, the change of formats, the influence of T20 cricket, which you've obviously been a part of and been around in many tournaments? Do you scratch your head at times and think, wow, how cricket's changed in 2015 compared to when you first started for the Kiwis?
Oh, you've opened yourself up there, mate. I still can't believe you're still involved in it. I think it's... Well, first of all, when I did play for the Comets, it was thoroughly enjoyable and I never thought I'd be where I am today.
Yeah.
But, the landscape's changed. It's changing, every 6 to 12 months. And things, and I'm sure in the next 2 or 3 years it's going to be at a different level. Once again, it's exciting, and just talking about that game next week, the pink ball. Whoever would have thought that there would have been a pink ball test in front of 50,000 people in Adelaide? So it's exciting times for cricket and exciting to be a part of. I caught up with another comment after the game, Nathan Lyon, and we're
yes,
a
of
few
course.
Jokes about different. Different players we played with and whatnot, and how in the water, out of the water, still world famous. Around.
Great game, Brad. I'll teach you that game. It's fantastic. Ross is an expert at that one too.
I was probably the best player in Trinidad at it.
Yes, well, obviously you played T20 for the Bushrangers after that Comets time. You and I were involved together at Trinidad Tobago Red Steel. You've been involved. How many IPL teams have you played for?
Oh, I think I've nearly played for them all.
Well done, you got the set.
I think I played for four.
Right, okay.
Four teams. So, been fortunate enough to play with some world-class players over the years and some players that, you'll tell your grandkids. Dravid, Kumble, Califf, Jay Wardner and co. That was something that I'll never forget. And obviously, IPL's made that possible.
Now, I loved your celebrations after your double 100, and obviously that was dedicated to the family, sticking the tongue out there and wishing that out to your daughter. Last time I saw you, mate, with your tongue out and you were looking a bit flustered, was you went for a swim out at St. Kitts, a big wide ocean out there, Brado, off the island of St. Kitts, and I think you and your mate Marty Gupta went for a swim, but you nearly didn't come back.
Yeah, it was... I'm not a very good swimmer at the best of times, so I was only about 10... 10 metres offshore, as you remember.
Way too far.
Way too far. I was at my waist, and then next minute, I couldn't touch the bottom. But thankfully, for a 14-year-old local lad on the surfboard, came and saved me, because I was waving out to some other people on the beach, and they thought I was waving at them. But
waving back.
They were just waving back at me. But no, it was a pretty scary time. Mm. And I was, as you can remember, I think I was still shaking when I got onto the team bus for training the next day. And the boys were sort of like, "Ruff, you don't swim on the Atlantic Ocean side." Oh, thanks, mate.
Thanks the heads up.
Well, those West Indian boys don't swim anyway, mate. So yeah, I'm not sure if they'd know how to tell you.
It was very, very lucky. And obviously, didn't worry Martin Guptill, because he got 90 that next day and I only got 4. So, sorry, Helmer.
That's all right, mate.
Speaking to Kiwi batsman Ross Taylor here on the Grippers, thanks to Bracken Co. Visit brackenco.com.au. Ross, after the Brisbane test, has been a bit made about, you had a bit of an issue with your left eye. Tell us what happened there, and then is it going to cause any issues seeing the pink ball?
I hope not. Hopefully it doesn't impede me too much. No, I just, Brisbane, obviously being a bit of a stadium, it got quite dark and I've been struggling to pick up the ball in the dark, so I thought I'd better go and get my eyes tested. I had a pterygium in my eye that had grown over a little bit more, and astigmatism. Hopefully I'm not talking too much garbage, but the lady just said that when it's dark, you're not going to pick it up as easy, and eye drops will help, lubricate the eye and stop it from, obviously, all the wind and things in the sun that you have to face while playing cricket. I'm sure it was more a coincidence more than anything that I'd scored the runs, but I never know, the eye drops might have worked.
How many bottles of eye drops have you now purchased, mate, that are in your kit bag?
I had to text my friend back in New Zealand if they sell this brand in New Zealand, and they said yes, because I was about to go and buy about 2 boxes to take back with me.
Oh, good stuff.
Hey, Ross, on the television coverage on Channel 9, Ian Smith mentioned that you like a bit of KFC after you score a big 100, and considering you almost got a triple ton.
He's trying to deflect himself. I went to school with Ian Smith's son, and I came from a little place in New Zealand called Marston, and we didn't actually have a McDonald's. Our highlight of the, if it was your birthday growing up, was to go to KFC. So, pretty fond of a drumstick and a potato and gravy every now and then.
So you loaded up after the 290 then?
Yes, I did.
I reckon it would have been a bucket, mate.
it was a bucket. Yeah. I went through the drive-through with our media people, and they actually paid for it. So I was on New Zealand cricket, first time ever I've got
cricket. The perks of making 290, mate, fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got the pink ball game, a trial game in Western Australia, and then you head over to Adelaide. It's going to be a really interesting test, a lot of fascination. It's amazing that a ball, the colour of the ball, can just take up so much attention. But it must be really exciting just playing a night test and being a part of that.
Yeah, to be fair, I was... when I first heard about it, I was dead against it. Mm. But I think the more it's got closer, it's actually getting exciting, I think, especially from a New Zealander's point of view. We don't get to play in front of big crowds very often, especially in the test arena. So, there's a lot of unknowns there, but, it's going to be a pretty special time, and I'm sure, with the amount of people that are going to come, it's obviously create a lot of interest, and that's good for the game. And who's not to say that there's not a few more ping ball games in the future, but it might not catch on as a test game, but who's not to say that it might not be a full format of the game. But time will tell, and I'm sure come the end of the test match there'll be a lot more questions answered.
Rossi, you've had a mortgage on first slip for many years for the Kiwis.
I've got to touch wood on that.
Yeah, okay, yes. Is that a difficulty when it's going from, I suppose, light to dark, when that lights take over? Fielding close to the bat, is that one of the greater concerns with the pink ball, even more so than batting?
I think so. I think probably more side on.
Right.
We played a Prime Minister's 11 game with the pink ball, and you know, we were watching from down at ground level, and we couldn't see balls from the sideline, even at their twilight zone. So I think the other thing that we found was, you know, obviously a lot of the bet manufacturers, you know, they've got the fluorescent colours on the stickers and on the gloves. And, you know, when the batters are, you know, playing their shots, whether it's horizontal or straight bat, sometimes you do lose it with that light. So, you know, those are the things that are going to creep up. So there was a lot of drop catches overnight at the twilight and night time. So it'll be interesting if that continues at, during the test.
Ross, now during the Wacker test, you had four of one type of player on the field. New Zealand cricket's probably got a bit more depth than what it's had in the past, and at one stage you had four wicket keepers on the field. They're a bit of a weird bunch, wicket keepers. Any weird statements flying around or anything like that? You had Tom Latham, Brendan McCullum, Luke Ronke, who was the 12th man, and obviously BJ Watling as well on the field.
Oh, they're just all smelly, aren't they? They are a different bunch, but no, in saying that, they're it's just a coincidence, I think, more than anything. And the thing about it is they're all three of them have got very good arms and probably better arms than I do as keepers. But no, I mean, as you said, Luke Ronke being brought up in Australia has been a great acquisition to New Zealand, and has, you know, added a new dimension, and obviously with the injuries that Brendan's had on his back, has been able to you know, take a lot of pressure off him and probably given Brendan a couple of years longevity in New Zealand cricket. If Ronke hadn't turned up, it probably wouldn't have been the case.
And speaking of the depth in the side, is this probably the most exciting time for New Zealand cricket in quite some time, given the fact that you made a World Cup final, you're currently, whether this matters to players I suppose is another thing, but you're fifth on the test rankings, only 1 point behind India and not that far behind the top four. I mean, is this one of the most exciting times that you've been a part of the New Zealand cricket team?
Definitely most exciting, and definitely the best side, I think. But I think it's been a long time coming. There's been a lot of talent there. It's just nurturing that talent, and but I think the biggest thing with this side is the depth, as you alluded to before. There's three or four guys at home could be throwing that ball and make just as big an impact as the players here, and the same with the batters. So, you know, that's something that we haven't had in a while. A good 20 players to choose from, and you know, there's always people pushing for places, and more often than not, when that's the case, that you know, people don't rest on their laurels and keep pushing each other. So hopefully we can keep pushing each other. Still got a long way to go, but definitely exciting.
Now, speaking of being thrown the ball, in the first year, the Aussies made 559 for 9 off 133 overs. 9 bowlers there were, Ross. Obviously, BJ Watling didn't bowl. But, mate, your KG off-spinners weren't used. I thought that might have been a great opportunity for you. Or were they saving you for the big first innings?
No, I actually had better bowling figures than Warnie. My average was 22, and then I bowled one over against Bangladesh, and that went to 24 point something.
Oh, no,
so
no.
I'm just trying to keep my average there.
Keep it down.
Just to keep it down there, I think, you know. So what's 24 is probably better than, well, it's better than most players that were playing. So that's pretty much the only idea there. I just want to keep my average, unless there's a bunny on, and then I might try and get that down to 18 or something. But that was the only case, really, because I'm a pretty good bowler.
And Ross, before we finish up, I just want to ask you about the international schedule. I know it's a question that gets tossed around a bit, but you've been out here since the end of October, and then you play through all the way until the end of Feb, where you finish off with two tests against Australia, and then you go to the 2020 World Cup. For someone of your where you're at in your career, 31 and moving on, is it a bit harder now to play those consistent back-to-back games in a schedule that really doesn't have any breaks over what is also the summer and the hottest part when you're out in the field and you can have long days like you did at the Wacker?
Yeah, and Blacktown.
Oh, dear me.
We were trying to stay away from that. You brought it up, mate, not us.
I think we do play a lot of cricket, and I think the people that I feel sorry for the most are the bowlers, I think. I think as batters, we can deal with it a lot more, and But the bowlers, you know, their recovery and the way, you know, still being able to get their gym and fitness in is crucial. Where I guess that's where the depth and being able to rotate your bowlers becomes crucial. It is a busy schedule, but I think at the same time you got to be very careful with that, because you know it's the same people who are saying those comments that are still going and playing in county cricket and IPL and Caribbean Premier League. So you know there are times that you can have a break, but you know it's just mirroring up you know what the best thing is for your body and for you know for the team. But you know I enjoy playing cricket. I don't like having a break longer than 2 weeks. I find that I get a bit out of kilter and things. So a couple of weeks is about as good as I need. And hopefully I'm still saying that about 35, 36, because I might answer it a little bit differently.
Very good. Hey, Rossi, yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, mate. There's a lot of people listening here remember you and your time with the Bush Rangers back in the early T20 games. You certainly have a great affinity here, and we think it was a fantastic effort what you achieved last week, and we look forward to you scoring many more runs for the Kiwis and all the various other T20 competitions around the world. But go well with the pink ball in the Adelaide Test, and thanks again for joining us on the Grippers.
Thanks for having me.
No doubt about it. Ross Taylor, one of the great Kiwi batsmen and one of the great blokes, it would appear. Helmo, great to have a chat with him.
Yeah, he's a lovely fella. Great bloke, Ross.
Hey, no over today, Helmo. Ross was too good.
He was great, and we didn't bring a pink ball. So, mate, we can't play the over today. No. I'm sorry. So, look, I've just got this rusty old red ball, which is no good.
Yeah,
so
it's not going to work.
No over today. However, we've had plenty of people interested in the over and the different topics that we discuss. And if anyone wishes to give their viewpoints on what the over should consist of, what can they do?
Well, just send us a tweet via Twitter at Braden Ingram or at Simon Helmet. You'll find us there. We're pretty boring type characters, Helmo. We don't have particularly fancy Twitter handles, but shoot us a tweet there and we'll certainly get your questions as a part of the over next week. We are here about done on the Grippers today. Of course, brought to you by Matt Bracken from Bracken Co. If you're looking for a great investment or a cracking place to live, visit brackenco.com.au or call Matt on 0402-098-888. That's us done here on the Grippers. Helmo, thanks for getting Ross Taylor for us, and thanks again today.
Thanks a lot, mate, and get on the cane train.